Lessons from the late Parshas Nitzavim, Rosh Hashanah, Baalein Latova, Slichos should have inspired you, Rabbi Isai, to understand that we are a week away to Hayom HaGodol V'Hanoira. And as our Parsha says, purposely, we read this Parsha always before Rosh Hashanah, my son's Bar Mitzvah Parsha, Nitzavim, nice and short frame, Aaron Hartstein, last year was his Bar Mitzvah. I think it's his birthday today. I don't know. Anyway, it says like this, right? What does it say? Atem Nitzavim Hayom. The great rabbis tell us Hayom refers to the Yom, the big day, Rosh Hashanah. Hayom Haras Olam. It's the Yom. It's the big day. This is it. So what happens? Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem. What is Hayom? And then it goes on and it says, Roshechem Tatvechem Kol Yish Yisrael. So the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, right on the first pasuk, asks a basic question. He says, why all the words? It seems to go on a bit too much. Because the Pesukim say, like this, why does it have to tell us every single portion of every person? Why wouldn't the Pesuk just read very simply and say like this, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kuchem, Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, Kol Ish Yisrael. Instead it says, Roshechem, Shifteichem, Zikteichem. Why? Why do we need all this? So you're lucky today. I'm going to read it to you in the original English. No, he didn't write in English, Aruch Chaim, but I couldn't find the Peirush in the Beis Medrash because of the Gezeiras Rom that's still upon us. We have no Svarim in the Beis Medrash. So they have the Aruch Chaim, and it says like this. We have to analyze. Why does it say Rosh Echem Tapechem? Right? Just a few, right? We know who that is. Just a few lines ago, we understand who we're talking about. Says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, because of the mitzvah of Achdus, the mitzvah of Arevim Zebazeh. It's to remind you that Hayom, Haras Olam, is not just a day where you're judged, Ko Bari Olam, everybody's judged. By the way, you know, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, if the Goyim understood, the nations understood, that we, through our tefillos, are actually davening for all of the world to stay around the world, they wouldn't persecute us as much. Understanding that this is the day that everybody's judged, but our own brothers, not literally our brothers, are also being judged. And we have to recognize that. And therefore, the covenant, the bris that the Rabbanu Shalom is giving us, is a bris that's together with all of Klal Yisrael. One unit. Each Jew has to see his fellow Jew that he does not stumble and commit sin. The proof is what Moshe had in mind here, and is found in a number of psukim later, Chav Ches, where Bnei Yisrael are relieved of their responsibility. Hanigalot, right? Nistaros, it says. Lanu v'neinu. So what does that mean? So back to the psukim. It says, Hashem says, you're not responsible for every single individual, what they think in their mind. The Nistaros, we can't be responsible for. Right? Hanistaros l'Hashem Elokeinu. That's for Hashem. What you're thinking in your mind now, that guy that's sitting here and saying, why does he have to come in every few days? It's so annoying. Why can't we just have Rav Shammai? I don't know about that. But what am I responsible? Uvanenu adolam b'asos kol divrei Torah zois. But the nigalot, the things that are out there, I'm responsible for that. You don't worry about them to start, but you try your best of each individual Jew trying to bring them back. However, if somebody's publicly committing a sin, they're doing something wrong, it's your responsibility to deal with them. Obviously in a way that a person can do it in the appropriate way. But the basic point of the Aruch Chaim is we have to care about other people. And I thought about this, and I actually, last night, knowing that Motzi Shabbos is a very, I don't know, at least for me, it's a hard day to stay up. Or maybe because there were slichos, it was hard for me to stay up. So I said, I got to do something constructive, and it's a lot of hours from one Shabbos. So I said, let me prepare lessons from the late. So I started to listen to different shurim, here and there, this and that. I started to look at, and a theme that for some reason came up, a shir bar of Yigal Cohen, who I've quoted many times, great Rav here in Eretz Yisrael. I said, this theme doesn't really apply to Rosh Hashanah. It's not a good theme for Rosh Hashanah, because, I should talk to you about Musar, about yourself. And then Rav Bagno, last night in Mishkan Shiloh, spoke about this exact point, and I said, okay, I got to speak about it now. And I thought that our avoda of this Rosh Hashanah actually has a lot to do with caring about other people. Because we are careless people in our nature. Because we are careless people by nature. What does that mean, we're careless people by nature? We don't care about other people. The whole concept that the Ribbono Shelam, it's very, very interesting. In the end of the Rambam writes, Az Yavdil Moshe, that when Mashiach comes, right, we're told in the parshas we read a few weeks ago in Shoftim and before, that there was Ir Miklas. And it says that when Mashiach comes, says the Rambam, they're going to build more Ari Miklat. Isn't that strange? We think that at the time of Mashiach, people will be less careless. But the fact is that we have to think about other people. And that's what Ir Miklat does. Imagine going on Highway 1 and seeing all those weird signs, Petak Tikwa, and all that. And one sign says Ir Miklat this way. You think to yourself about maybe not cutting somebody off and not speeding and trying to kill somebody else. It's just we don't think about other people. Says Rav Yigal Cohen, do we think about other people in the sense of, he says, people come to me all the time. They say, Rebbe, I need your help. My son's off the derech. It's terrible. He says, I never, ever got a person who said, my neighbor's son is off the derech. What should I do? Nobody cares about that. Rav Bagno said, when somebody's sick, right, there's somebody I grew up with, Gilad Coulter, who suddenly passed away. Very, very, very tragic. Hashem should give the family really a lot of nechama, especially his son Moshe, who my son was friendly with in Camp Misora. Very, very difficult. So when you hear about it, it's devastating. And it really bothered me. But to his wife, he can't move. To his children? So Rav Bagno said, why is that? Why when we hear about a terrorist attack, unless it's, God forbid, a close relative, you might be sad. You go on with your day. That's because we haven't reached the point. He told a story about his Rebbe, of Usher Arieli of the Mir Yeshiva. So he said that every, number of weeks, back in the day, there would be a shir klali from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, the great Mir Rosh Yeshiva. And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz would come in, and he would say, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz would come in, and he would be Dorish, and it was amazing. And he says, goes back many, many years ago, there was a bombing, Nebuch, in the Shuk, in Yerushalayim. Must be, for all we know, 40 years ago. And he got up to speak, it was a day after, and he said, just for half hour, just cried. He said he couldn't go on with his life, it was bothersome to him so much. It wasn't any family member. Rav Soloveitchik writes that he takes this amazing Gemara. It's actually a toys voice. The Gemara speaks about a very strange case about a person with two heads. There are Rebbeim out there who try to get guys interested in Torah, so they take the weirdest Gemaras and they show them, ooh, this is cool. Oh, I like Gemara now. So here's one of the Gemaras. So he takes this Gemara and he says, how can that be? So Tosfos writes, they can't be, there's any such thing as a person with two heads. I think Rebbeinu Tam says this. Goes, no, that's not true. There once was a person who had two heads. So to go on further, says Rav Soloveitchik, right, based on Tosfos, right? Listen to this funny story. Ready? Guy's got two heads, right? Could be Siamese twins, right? It's possible. It's not a crazy thing. He goes to the court. He's got a problem. Why? His father, let's say, passed away, and they're divvying up equally all of the Nechasim of the father. And he says, no, I get double. Because I'm two people. I'm two separate people. I got two heads. So the basin is like, stark. So you got to take a Shlomo HaMelech for this story, right? So he says, okay, I'm going to take he takes one of his heads. He says, I'm not going to hurt you, don't worry. It's going to hurt him in one second. Whenever they say that, you're in trouble, right? And he puts a mask over the head. And now the other head is fully exposed. He takes some hot water, I assume not boiling, hot water, and he pours it on the head. And what happens to the other head? So, what happens with the hot water? Back to the hot water, sorry. So, he pours hot water on the head, and guess what? The other head screams. He says, it's a raya that you are one person. You're not entitled to double. Rav Soloveitchik tells the story over to tell us what?
That's the way we should feel about another individual. Until a Jew feels that when somebody else gets hurt, I got hurt, there's a problem here if we don't feel that way. That's what the Or HaChaim is pointing out. You come to Rosh Hashanah, it's not only about you. It's about the klal. Why am I not acting better towards people? A very scary, very, very scary Shulchan Aruch tells us that Yom Kippur is not Mechaper Averus Ben Adam L'Chaveru. You can do everything you can. You can scream and cry all you want during Slichos. And on Rosh Hashanah, you could have the greatest tefillah ever for the first time in your life. You know, you went to most of your... whatever it is. But if you don't wrong the rights of your friend, it's Ephesus. It's worthless. It's like the Gemara says this. So, we have to work on this. Bagno used this term because we say over and over again in Slichos this term. Right? Where we say, Kel Melech Yoshev Al Kisei Rachamin, when we beg the Rabbonu Sholom that in Yud Gimel Midos. So we say, Nefesh Kol Basar. Right? We use this term that it should be Kol Basar. So it says Rav Bagno, Kol Basar is talking about what? Every individual. Everyone with whatever their chisronot are come to form what's called a tzibur. And we have to recognize that. And we have to understand that that's something very important. And we miss it a lot. We don't care about it a lot. And this is a very, very integral part of the tshuva process. Very integral part of the tshuva process. And that's the idea of Oseh Tzedakos im kol basar v'ruach. We have to believe that in our heart of hearts. That God performs this with everyone. Kol basar. Hanistarot lanu. Forget about what's inside of it. Try your best. What have you done? What are you doing to try to be friendly? You guys are Shanabet. Now, this year we call you Shanabet, not just Lev Lechai, Shanabet. So what are you doing for that Shana Aleph guy who Nebuch may be crying in Slichos, not because he cares about Slichos, because he realizes mommy and daddy aren't around. So you talk to him, you put your arms and say, everything's okay. You have to care, that's what Rosh Hashanah is about. You're being mamlich the Rabbanu Shalom, you go to the Rabbanu Shalom, you say to him, Avinu Malkein, you're my dad, he says, you're my son. Well, why do you treat your brothers like this? Why? I should forgive you? We're going to him and saying this magical tefillah, Hashem, Hashem, Karachim, Lechanun, Erech Apayim, Baruch Chesed. He says, great, but do you have Rachamim? You do? You act that way? Ah! Now we have something to talk about. My mindset always was, you know, before Rosh Hashanah, I should give you Musar on yourself. And you do, but your relationship with Baruch Shalom is very important, but it seems to be worthless without working on individuals. And it could be as close as your brother. It could be as close as your spouse. It could be as close. But certainly other people as well. And we should realize that Hashem puts us in situations where we can help. And He's testing us. One of the Avinu Malkeinu we're going to say over and over again is what? Avinu Malkeinu, Kasveinu B'Sefer Zechuyos. What does that mean? We're coming to Hashem and say, hey, Hashem, I know I don't really deserve Zechuyos, but just write it in. Write it in. Just write it in. What are we doing? The answer is, says Rav Matzial Solomon, you know what we're saying? Avinu Malkeinu, put me in situations where I could do mitzvahs. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's hard. Right? A guy finally said, davening's important to me. I really want to daven Shacharis in the morning. And now he wakes up and there's something wrong with his watch. And it says, you know, 8:34. And he's like, shoot. So now he has to decide, the Rabbanu Shalom put him in a situation that he could go across the street. I'm going to have to walk all the way there. Now, so what? Or Nebuch, you live in a community, you have to really walk far. But you put me in the situation. Sometimes you have a situation where you can stand up for somebody on the bus and give him your seat. He said, thank you, Hashem. You gave me that opportunity. I care about other people. Right before Shabbos. I think there's a perfect example of this, and it's not. I'm not telling you the story because I want you to write an article book about it, that I'm a tzaddik of Ramat Beit Shemesh. But my daughter asked me to drive her. She was eating by somebody's house. And it's very hard. Before Shabbos, the Satan is all over. The Svarim HaKadoshim tell us. The Satan wants to really hurt and get you angry before Shabbos so you're in a bad mood. So I'm like, fine, I'll take her 6 o'clock. Davening's at 6:24. And she's like, oh, by the way, you're taking me to my friend's house first? You're picking up my friend, and then we're going to the place. And by the way, we don't really know where our house is. This is all disaster. So I pick up her friend's not answering the door. They're knocking on the door, ringing the doorbell. She's like, I don't know what to do. I said, well, call her. She's like, I don't have my phone, because Shabbos is starting soon. I'm like, great. Finally, we get the friend. Okay, I got time. And she's like, where does she live? Oh my God, I think she lives over here. Fine. We finally find the house. It's in a new area, Mishkafayim. And as we're driving there, I'm like, my blood is boiling because I know I'm going to be late. I don't want to be late for Mincha. And literally, I'm driving right on the side of me. An old man's walking, and he collapses. He falls. And what do you do, obviously? From New York? You keep driving, right? So, no. So I'm like, oh my God. Pull right over, put on the hazards. And I'm like, you know, I say in my wonderful Hebrew, and he's like, English? Do you speak? I'm like, oh yeah, English, that's easy. And he's like, I don't know, because there's nothing wrong with me, because I just tripped, I fell, I'm fine. I said, no, you're not fine. There's dust all over him. The national Ramat Beit Shemesh, dust all over. Okay. I said, let me take you. So I sat him in the car. My daughter's great. She went to the back, and I said, you want water? Can I? He goes, no, can you just drive me to the, it was a block away, but he said, if you drive me to the shul, and I can just sit there, I can calm down, I'll be okay. And now, for sure, I'm not going to be right on time for Mincha. Fine. I dropped my daughter off. I dropped him off. I felt like he was okay. Thank God. I hope. And I drove home, and I'm driving home, and I should be really upset now. I was upset until that point, and I'm like, this was the easiest mitzvah ever. Like, literally, he collapsed in front of my car. Like, anybody would have done something. Even a guy from New York, you know? That's what Rabbeinu Shlomo is doing. He's putting you in situations. Well, how are you acting? And maybe it's not as in front of your face. Maybe it's a block away and you do something or not. We have to care about other people. Rosh Hashem, Shift Hapsechem, everybody. Kol Yish Yisrael. That's what our job is. I'll try very quickly to tell you the story I wanted to tell. It's a long story, but I'll tell it as short as I can. But it's such a beautiful story and so important. Oh yeah, I'm so late. So, Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson, only he could tell stories like this. He tells the greatest stories. So he tells the story like this, but I'll do it as quickly as possible. A guy gets caught in Germany. It's Erev Yom Kippur, and he lands. There's a problem with the plane. It lands in Germany. He can't get on another flight. A lot of people were able to get on. He can't get on. He calls his wife, and he says, this is devastating, especially because he davens in a certain yeshiva. This is a place he davens all the time. He can't. It's devastating. So he contacts there's a very large shul there. We used to be a very large shul in Germany. But Rosh Hashanah gets back to the yoifi of what it used to be. 1,000 people show up. And they set him up. They find him a place to stay. Everything's ice cold and everything's going to be fine. And he's very upset. He's not going to be with his family, with his Rebbe, with it. And he goes there to the famous Kol Nidre Davening. He walks in. Gabbai is awesome. Awesome Gabbai. Hooks him up, gets him. He hardly had anything because he thought he'd be home. So he got him the talus and the kittel and the whole thing. And the chazan gets up. He's a chazan. I apologize. I don't remember the name. And the chazan gets up. He's also from Israel. And he says a Kol Nidre in my entire life. I was hysterically crying. This Kol Nidre was so... It was the greatest davening. After davening, I had to go to him and give him a yeshkoyach. I said, yeshkoyach to you. You're unbelievable. He says, oh, you're from Israel. I'm from Israel. He tells a story. Huh? He says, oh, you know. He says, do me a favor. Come from breakfast by me. I'll tell you a story you're never going to forget. And the davening is beautiful. So he says to the chazan, they have breakfast together. They're both alone. And he says, can I ask you a question? How is that? That Kol Nidre, I just felt it. So he says, I want to tell you a story. He said, a year ago, or maybe more than a year ago, a few years ago, he said, this is my job. I do this all the time. I fly in from, I think he's from Tel Aviv or whatever, and I fly back and forth for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur to go to the big shul in Germany, Frankfurt, I think it was. And every year, so I go in, I do... He says, and when Yom Kippur's over and that shofar, everybody's yishkayach, yishkayach. I'm always the last guy out of the shul, right? Because I'm the chazan and I gotta, you know, wrap up my talis and the hat and the whole thing. You know, they make a big. And I'm walking out, and everybody's gone, and I close the gate, and I'm, you know, last guy, close the gate, and this guy comes up to me, and he can't speak German, Hebrew, broken. He's a Russian guy, it seems like, broken. Yiddish, he says to me, where is everybody? It's Yom Kippur. Where is everybody for Yom Kippur services? And he realizes what obviously happened. He looked at the calendar, as some people make the mistake, the day of Yom Kippur. He thinks that's that night is Yom Kippur, and of course it's not. He's missed Yom Kippur. And he says to him, he feels bad, and he's like, I don't know everybody. He doesn't know if he should say anything, and he decides to say. And he says, I'm sorry, Yom Kippur was last night. And this old man grabs the place and says, I can't. I promise my father, he's saying this in Yiddish. He says, what are you talking about? He says, I'm a Holocaust survivor. And my father knew I probably would lose everything after the Holocaust. But I promise my father one thing and one thing only. You need to identify yourself as a Jew. He says, no matter what you promise me, you go to Kol Nidre, you go to Yom Kippur Davening. And every year since the Holocaust, that's what I do, and that's how I know I'm Jewish. And he starts screaming, I'm not Jewish anymore, I'm not Jewish anymore, I'm not Jewish anymore. He says, calm down, you're Jewish, it's okay. You're Jewish, it's okay. He knows what he has to do. He says, you're Jewish, and you're going to come with me. And he goes into the shul, opens the gate. He says, the gates are never closed for a Jew. Obviously. Ma'ayin b'zeh. He puts the hat back on, the talis back on, and it's just him and this guy. And he starts a Kol Nidre, says, like I never said before. It's 25 hours late. But he says, it was the first time in my life, the only thing I thought about was helping out this guy. What do I normally do when I say Kol Nidre? How's my voice? Are they going to like me? Are the board of directors going to like me? Are the people going to give good feedback about me so I can come next year? I don't really think, and I think about this because I blow shofar, and I wish I had all the kavanas and all that. What you're basically thinking about when you blow shofar, please let this come out the right way and not be embarrassed by a, you know, being the wrong way. And he said, it was the first time in my life I said Kol Nidre for somebody else. I cared. And he says, and every year, all I do is I stand there right before Kol Nidre and I think about this guy. And the next year, he was there, sitting in shul. And he's like, hey, remember me? Last year, I won't ever forget you. He says, it's worth it for you to come here just to hear the story. He says, my life changed after that. Why? Because he cares about another person. We have to think on Rosh Hashanah about ourselves, but how are we going to be different to other people? Do we realize the repercussions of me being on my phone during Chazaras Hashatz doesn't only affect me, it affects other people in the shul? Because you're not saying Amen, you're not saying Baruch Hu Shemo, you're not saying, and therefore your tefillos are not makabel the same way? What do you care? I don't have anybody sick in my family. The guy next to you, Nebuch, has somebody sick. You're talking in shul, he's saying Kaddish, how dare you? For his parents, it's all he has. And you're talking because you're more important. You need to think about other individuals. That is what our life is about, Rabbi Yisai. Thinking about others. I think that's the message of Rosh Hashanah. Yes, mi mamlech the Rabbanu Shalom. He's the melech. But we say to the melech, hey, you're not my melech only. I start off with what? Avinu Malkeinu. You're my dad. My dad says, well, how do you act towards your brothers? You want me to think about that on this Rosh Hashanah. The Rabbanu Shalom should give all of us a kasiva chasima toiva. We should all be zoiche to all that we want. Kol mishal tzibeinu l'tova. Amen. Selah.